Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll have a brief check-in with our senior editor for politics and policy, Andrea Bernstein, with a Bridgegate update and something that she and our business reporter Ilya Meretz dug up about Donald Trump's past just this week. Andrea, I believe, is stepping out of Bridget Ann Kelly's testimony at the Bridgegate trial right now to join us. Is that right, Andrea?
Yes, she just took the stand about 20 minutes ago.
Any news from her testimony yet?
Well, so far she's just describing her life and her responsibilities at the governor's office. She is speaking quite clearly and directly. I can hear her better than almost any of the other witnesses. And looking at the jury, this is, of course, the first time really that she's spoken since this scandal broke. And she is describing her life, which, unlike David Wildstein and Bill Baroni, who had pretty nice jobs and made a lot of money, she was talking about how, as a single mother of four children recently divorced, she took her job in Trenton because it gave her a $30,000 raise to $83,000 at the governor's office. And even though she had four children, she said she took on about an hour and a half commute because her family and she needed the money.
And she's the one who sent the infamous email, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. Are you anticipating that she's going to say that the governor knew about this, which is, I guess, what everybody's waiting to hear one way or another?
That is certainly what she has been signaling, what her lawyer has been signaling in his cross-examination of other witnesses, that she, at one point, he called her a human piñata. That remark was stricken from the record, but of course the jurors actually heard it. And that is the implication, that she's going to say that everybody around her knew about it and that she became the fall person when the emails were released.
What was the other headline or two from the trial this week?
Well, this week Bill Baroni also testified for several days, and his testimony is that he believed it was a traffic study all along, even though we've heard quite a good deal of testimony this week from so many other people that they knew it wasn't just a traffic study by the time that he was publicly telling legislators, this is back in November 2013, that it wasn't. And just this morning, the governor's chief campaign strategist, Mike Duhaime, who worked on the governor's all of his campaigns, including his ones for president, just testified that he quite clearly remembered telling the governor that his senior staff had knowledge of the lane closures right before the governor went out and told reporters, this was on December 13, 2013, that he'd spoken to everybody on his staff and they'd all assured him they had no knowledge. And he acknowledged that, yes, when he heard that, he knew that what the governor was saying was not accurate.
Now, Andrea, when I was coming to work today and listening on my headphones to Morning Edition, as I was about to get into the subway, I actually stopped before I went down the subway steps and waited and took the next train so I could hear the end of your story with our business reporter, Ilya Meretz, that literally had my jaw hanging open about something that you discovered that Donald Trump did not in his name in New York State. That's pretty scandalous. You want to recap
right.
it for us?
So in the year 2000, then Governor George Pataki, a Republican, wanted to bring gambling to New York. And his proposal, his argument was that the St. Regis Mohawks Indian tribe could do this in the Catskills under existing state law, that they could have an off-reservation casino. That was his argument. And during that time, all these advertisements began appearing attacking the St. Regis Mohawks for being, it was suggested, drug dealers, criminals, smugglers, all around unsavory people. And the ads began appearing everywhere. And it turned out, at the time, it was represented to people listening and two reporters like us who got press releases, and I even got some of them, that they were run by a conservative 1,200-member grassroots group upstate. But actually, there was no conservative group. There was a friend of Roger Stone, who was a political consultant and was and is an advisor of Donald J. Trump's, and they had set up the group as a front group for Donald Trump because he didn't want a New York casino that might compete with his Atlantic City casinos. And they had run this million-dollar ad campaign, and they were caught by the lobbying commission. And what we were able to do was get the complete records of their investigation with the entire thing literally signed off on by this recognizable handwriting of Donald Trump's, saying, okay, set up the pass-through group, okay, run these advertisements, okay, attack the Mohawk Indians, okay, attack Governor Pataki. Mm-hmm. Even to the point of hiring a private investigator to investigate the Pataki administration, and then this information was used to distribute to reporters to try to discredit the casino gambling effort that Pataki was trying to mount.
All through this front group without his fingerprints ever appearing publicly to public knowledge, and he succeeded. That casino did not happen.
A casino did not happen. Now, there is a casino that is being built right now, but it's not run by the Mohawks. They were successful in sort of delaying and putting off the project, that is what happened. The St. Regis Mohawks never did get their casino in the Catskills.
And we just have 30 seconds left, but one of the things that jumped out at me was the similarity of the language being used against an ethnic group to demonize them, as what we heard from Trump at the beginning of his presidential campaign. Mexicans are criminals and drug dealers, and that's what they were spreading about this Indian tribe.
Everything that we're seeing now about Donald Trump, his use of sham groups, front groups, hiding what he's doing, and then using the racially tinged attacks to get his way, we saw in that campaign in the year 2000.
Andrea, thanks for the few minutes outside the courtroom at the Bridgegate trial. Back in there now and listen to Bridget Ann Kelly. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
And thanks to everybody for listening today. Stay tuned because the Leonard Lopate Show is coming up right after the news. He's got Academy Award-winning filmmaker Fisher Stevens on his new documentary, Before the Flood, which urges us to protect endangered species, ecosystems, and native communities across the globe. And if you've ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes at the Leonard Lopate Show, today's Please Explain will be a chance for you to ask those questions. So I'm Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening to me today. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay tuned for the Leonard Lopate Show coming up right after the news here on WNYC.